Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, and today I have not one, but two co-hosts with me. I've got Jessica Baker and the little baby Beta girl.
Hello.
Hello, my friend.
I am a working mum today.
You are living your best life.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah. My babysitter fell through, so here we are.
Here we are.
You can just call me Jacinda Ardern.
Yeah, I will.
Breastfeeding Parliament, that's pretty much what I'm like.
Literally have a mic in one hand and a baby in the other.
Yes, yeah, and bouncing.
Yes, so if you hear any crying, if you hear the pitter-patter of, like, soothing techniques.
Oh, I thought you meant of, like, my 10-week-old walking around the room.
No. I meant more like you are patting her, trying to get her to sleep.
Yeah, sorry, it's a reflex. I can't control it.
She can't, but we're here for it. Jess is just faithfully here for the big three.
Look, I may have overcommitted, I'm not going to lie. But I love the podcast so much that here I am.
Here you are. And listen, I actually think us talking is just going to, because we have such soothing voices, Jess.
So soothing.
So soothing that it's just going to rock her off to sleep. It's just going to be so second nature to her.
Yeah.
Well, because she listened to it all through utero. So
she
this will
did,
be a comforting
yeah.
time for her, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little Veda girl. Bless her heart.
Let's see how it goes.
Let's see how we go. If at some point you're like, hey, we haven't heard from Jess for a while, it might be because she's left. And that is okay. You do you. Well, for those of you who missed it, our associate pastor, Roxanne Lawler, preached during our Sunday services this Sunday, returning to our series, Renovation, Rebuilding for Purpose, looking at the book of Nehemiah. Rock spoke from chapter 5, where conflict arises within the community of Israel as they rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And she spoke about how the principles that Nehemiah demonstrated can shape our own response to conflict in our lives. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermon podcast. And so today, in the Big Three, we're going to keep the conversation going from Sunday's message. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Roxy, and Jess and I will be putting the Big Three questions to her as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. But for now, Jess, keen to hear your thoughts coming out of Rox's message on Sunday.
Oh, look, it's good to be back in Nehemiah, isn't it? Love that
we
renovation.
Him. Bless him. Will the wall ever be complete?
We just don't know. It's such a cliffhanger. Look, I have been at a previous church that shall remain nameless, watching someone who also shall remain nameless scream at someone across the church who shall remain nameless.
Okay.
And then we henceforth left the church forever. So, look, conflict's a thing. I don't think, let's not beat around the bush. For some reason, Christians are annoying. Look, we can just say it.
We can be.
I'm one of them, so I understand it. So this is not something we should shy away from. I think it's a good topic to cover. So
yeah.
Good on Rox.
Absolutely. And Rox even said, like, we need to start normalizing this.
Yeah.
Like, and not assuming that just because we're Christians that we are... this doesn't impact us because it
fact,
does.
In fact, the opposite, right? Did you say that guy?
Yeah.
It was like they have the most conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing something right, aren't we?
Yeah,
that Holy Spirit's really helping.
Well, it will in the Big Three today. Well, yes, it is a big issue and clearly we need to talk about it more and that's what we're going to do today. So, Jess, I think it's time for us to start looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido this week. So what are our big three?
So question one is, what can conflict look like? Does it have to be screaming across the church and fleeing in tears forever?
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
Hopefully that's the worst of it. Question two, how can we be peacemakers if the other party in the conflict isn't interested in truth-telling or justice-seeking?
Yeah, oh, boom.
Yeah.
So, like...
I don't think you can. Rox is here to shed some light on that. I don't think that's the answer.
Fair call.
And question three, how do we begin to normalize conflict so that we don't hide from it?
Yeah, great.
That's something I learned in my marriage, actually. Conflict is going to be there. How do we repair and move on?
Sticking your head in the sand has never really helped anyone.
No.
Particularly in the church. So let's not do that. Right on. Well, let's get into it. I think there's only one thing missing, and that is Roxanne herself. Welcome to the Big Three, my friend.
Oh, hello, everybody. Oh, it's so good to be here with Veda and you two.
Yeah, we're all right.
Totally on the high cute level.
How are you going, Rox?
Yeah, good. Pretty good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be back in Nehemiah. Loving me a bit of Nehemiah, shortest man in the Bible. Yeah,
cute.
It's good.
Yeah, right
good
on.
Good times, yeah.
Sweet. Well, Let's stop shooting the breeze and just get into the big three.
We got a baby to race the next feed. go.
She does look asleep though. Oh, but Fabulous, I'm so sorry. Why would you do that? I'm so sorry.
You are a parent of three.
I'm so sorry. The second the words left my lips, I knew I'd done a bad thing.
She fell asleep in a bassinet today. I was tempted to take a photo and send it to my husband, but I thought no, because in that photo she'll half open her eyes and be like, "Mum, hello." Not doing it anymore.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Let's get into the big three.
So, Rox, obviously there's 50 shades of grey when it comes to conflict. What does it actually look like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think we kind of know what conflict looks like, right? You know,
I've never had it.
Never.
never
such
instigated
a unifying
it.
Individual. Been a part of it. No, not diverse at all. Yeah, look, it's pretty full on, hey? And I don't know, for a lot of people, we kind of get scared of conflict and we run away from it. And I will fully admit to being one of those people. Like, conflict just makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think for me to get my head around conflict, to be not fearful of it, I kind of had to understand the different modes that you can operate in with conflict. So there's a bunch of conflict modes that we have that I might want to share. I'll just share with you. And this is more Tim Dyer stuff, more Tim Dyer goodness.
Yeah, great.
He's a good egg.
How much do we love him? So much. And so he actually has taken a guy called Thomas Kilman conflict mode and adapted it. So for anyone who wants that extra reading, you can do that.
Can you just give me the spark notes?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the short notes. Anyway, so he talks about how we have different animals of conflict. So we actually go into different animal modes, and I'll run through them for you. And as I'm talking, you might sort of self-identify who you are. Which animal are you?
A little self-awareness exercise.
A little bit of funsies. And so with conflict, you get your bulls. That's the big one, right? Mm-hmm. Like the bull.
That's the screaming across the church, I reckon.
Yeah, possibly is. Maybe some horns involved, and they'd sort of charge into conflict. And the concept of a bull is that the underlying thing is that it has to be my way, and they are driving at something. It's got to be their way. And if you had a sort of a win-lose thing, it would be like, I win, you lose, says the bull, and they charge in. And we probably know people who are like that in terms of their personality, but this is particularly pertaining to conflict style. So in a conflict, they're like, right, go, let's go, let's get in, and they kind of bulldoze, to use the term, through things. So you might recognise that about yourself or about somebody that you might have had a disagreement with. Another conflict style is the turtle. So the turtle is that beautiful self-protective shell.
I'm gonna resonate with this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the turtle, you know, whenever there's drama, you know, a little bit of difficulty, you know, what do? Get into the shell, withdraw, just bunker down. And the idea behind that is that if the bull says my way, the turtle's like, no way. And so it's I lose, you lose, because there's no arguing with a turtle, right? It's just a complete shutdown or removal from the situation.
Stonewalling, classic.
Yeah, exactly. Get in there, self-protective, get down. So turtle's another mode that we can be in. Another one is fox mode. The fox.
What does
mode.
The fox say?
Ooh, what does the fox say?
Don't start singing.
Oh my
that
gosh.
Song.
Well, the fox is kind of like halfway. So it would be like, you know, you win some, you lose some. And so the fox is this quick, bit sort of sneaky. We just need to get a resolution. Let's just quick. What do you need? Okay, let's meet in the middle and good. That's good enough. Let's move on. So the fox is this, you know, it can be perceived as manipulative, but it's all about get the solution and just move the heck on.
Is the
fox mode. Another one is koala. There's the koala of conflict.
Yeah.
I know. love me some koala. And they just kind of, you know, sit up in their tree all looking cute and fluffy. And their way is like, it's your way. The koala, it's all about your way. And it's like, I'll lose, you win.
Oh, I know.
And koalas and bulls get along really well because the bull's like, you lose, I win. And the koala's like, fine. Can we just hug? Yeah, exactly. And so then the last one is owl, which is the owl way, like, and it's a win-win. And so the owl's the very slow, get it. Let's get it all on the table. Mm. Let's talk about this. What do you think? What do you think? What's the best way to go about this? Let's use some wisdom here, calming the process and being that way. And so it's good for us in terms of conflict to think about what's the natural mode that we go into.
Yeah.
You know, do you resonate with a koala or are you like an owl and you like to slow it down and listen, or are you the fox and you just like, quick, just get it done, and move on. So what does it look like when you're in conflict? It's good to kind of think through that. Yeah. But what's important to remember in these different modes is there's not actually a correct one.
Yeah.
What there is a correct one for a particular situation. So in some situations of conflict, you actually require and it's very necessary to have a bull, right? So if something's, you know, there's a fast decision and it's an emergency situation, you need a bull to get in there and just drive straight through it and figure stuff out, right? In other times, there's where there's danger at stake, like relational danger, emotional danger, spiritual danger, the best thing to do is to be the turtle, you know, to self-protect, to pull in, head in, feet in, just hunker down and get through it. And that's completely valid and the wise thing to do. So it's depends on the situation that you're in for these animals. And the higher the importance of the issue, you've got to sort of weigh it up. Is the issue the most important thing, or is the relationship the most important thing?
Yeah, wow.
You know, so that's kind of the key to this. If the issue is really, really important, then you need an issue-based mode.
Yeah.
Like you need a bull.
You need a bull.
Or you need
a
fox, right? You need to come in and the issue is really important. We've got this huge big thing to solve. You know, we're either going to get a bull to come in and drive it, or we're going to get a fox to go, okay, let's do win some, lose some. Let's do a quick, you know, quick and dirty discussion here, figure it out and move on. If the relationship is the thing that's really important, then you're going to need that owl, you know, you're going to need that koala. They're going to need to, you know, spend all the time in the world and all the wisdom and all the love, working that stuff out and getting it on the table. So this is kind of what we need to be thinking about is what are the modes that we go into in conflict?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the be all end all solution for every conflict, but you know, it's just really helpful to, I think, take away the fear of conflict and to recognize, okay, well, you know what? There's a time when I actually need to be the fox, you know, even though I'm a natural whatever, like I'm a natural owl. But there's a time when I'm like, no, there's times when I need to be, you know, the fox. We need to just, you know, come up with a solution here and we need to do it fast and we need to compromise. Totally fine, totally perfect. So.
And I think, like, I think you're right, Rox. Like, we need to understand maybe, like, and this is where this is kind of a bit of a self-awareness exercise. Like, where do we identify? What is our natural stance? But I think also for many people, you probably have an adapted stance as well. You know, there are certain circumstances. I think professionally, a lot of us probably find ourselves in circumstances that are outside of our natural kind of way of doing things. And we've learnt how to deal with conflict in a different way because for whatever reason, our position or our role has required
it. Yeah, it's forced us into it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think about like myself. So I think I'm a bit more, I think naturally am probably a fox.
Yeah.
But, you know, I came from, you know, a risk assessment kind of job that required a bull mentality. So and it was very much... not I win, you lose, but it was very much my way, not yours. And I had to learn that. And so even for us to be able to understand, you know, where would I naturally lean, but what are some of the behaviors that I've learned in my lifetime, whether it be through my professional development or even just life experience. Because you probably, you would find that you're not one to the exclusion of all others, but you probably take a little bit from each of them depending on the circumstance. And so, which then just kind of diversifies what conflict can look like.
Yes, it does.
More. You know, oh, well, you know, I probably want to kind of, I'm probably comfortable with a bit of win some, lose some mentality, but I'm probably also a bit forceful with what I want to see happen. And so I'm a bit of both. And, you know, sometimes if there's not a time crunch, I might be willing to be the owl and just kind of give the time and space that's required. But if not, then you might get a different version.
A different version of you.
Which is like, and I think, you know, all that to be said just kind of speaks to the complexity of what conflict is.
It's huge.
It's not a formula. No. And even these modes, you know, they provide us a piece of the puzzle, but they're not the complete picture.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And like I said, they're not just, you know, two-dimensional lanes that you either are in one or you're not.
No, no.
You know,
Although that's what they're a modality, right? Exactly. You know, you've got to switch and you think about you might be one way, as you said, at work, but in your family situation, it might be entirely different, incredibly different. Another point too is we've got to be careful of treating one another with respect and seeing that in the other and recognizing that actually, you know what, my bull, you know, approach here is actually going to mow down, you know, the people that are the koalas or you know, railroad over the foxes or whatever.
Yep.
And just be aware of, okay, what's really needed in this? And this is my natural ability and I'm comfortable in this, but how is this affecting the other? Like, what's the relational collateral damage going on? And you see that in koalas in this. Tim Dyer will talk about the koalas being, you know, the ones that like, I'll lose, you win, and it's all your way. And they're just love, love, love. But we forget that koalas have claws, right? And you can push a koala to a certain point and then out of nowhere, they explode, right?
Yep.
And you've probably seen this in the most loving, kind koalas in your life, you know, that they're fine until they're not. And you never know when that point is, you know? You don't know when it is for them. They're just going to boof, you know, the fur goes flying, you know? And then they've got to all get, you know, put back together again. And then they can, you know, get their lives together and recenter themselves, and then they go back to being a koala. But there's relational damage that's under, you know, that you've had happen, and you've got to heal. There's a lot of that's a lot to
think
about.
What this all says to me is that, like, because obviously conflict, it's a super reactive process, or like normally, because it's so emotionally charged, right? Like conflict. And you spoke about this, like anger is normally a secondary response. And obviously I think conflict is as well. Like it's more something else is going on
underneath.
And we're responding in this highly emotional, highly reactive way. But everything that we've talked about in terms of what conflict can look like actually invites us into kind of taking a beat and reading the room and kind of reading ourselves and kind of going, okay, well, what mode am I in?
Yeah,
but also, and I think it's really good what you said, Rox, like what mode is the other person in? And am I taking advantage here?
Yeah.
Like, am I a bull and they're a koala and I'm just walking all over?
Yeah.
Like, is that fair?
Yeah.
Is that an equal?
Yeah. Well, there's a power issue at play there, isn't there?
Absolutely. And like, you know, but, yeah, that takes time, like, which also probably then takes steam out of some of your – like there's value in that because it kind of slows you down and you're not so reactive. And so even just asking the question, well, who am I in this conflict and who is the other, actually takes some of the heat away from the conflict, doesn't it?
It gives you a language too, I think, to understand what's going on. So like that's why I really love the animals. They're so simple, but everybody can identify. And you probably, even as people listening to the podcast, they've probably already pigeonholed themselves. Not as a pigeon, because there's not many animals, that's an option.
Yeah.
But you sort of pigeonhole yourself and you know yourself, okay, yeah, that's me. So it gives you a language and a framework for understanding. And you can see that, in an emergency, here's what I need to do. And if, you know, most people are kind of capable of switching modes, it might not be comfortable, it might not be like riding left-handed, but you can do it. And ultimately we do it because we want to resolve or conclude the conflict. You know, we generally want to have an end to it. We want to put a full stop on it. We don't want to continue this conflict forever. It's just not a comfortable space. So we need to be able to, you know, have the language, understand ourselves, understand the effect that it has on the other. And we're called to be others focused, right?
Absolutely.
And to love one another. It's the call on our lives as Christians. So then how do we, you know, best understand ourselves, best understand the other, to the glory of God, come up with a good solution to the issues that's on the table?
Yeah.
And I suppose question two will jump into what happens when there's two bulls coming to the table.
I was just about to say.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a good starting point. Let's get on to question two. Well, yeah, Rox, I guess this question kind of speaks to the situations where there isn't a solution to conflict. You know, how can we be peacemakers, which was one of the key principles that you kind of pulled out of Nehemiah's experience. How can we be peacemakers if the other party in the conflict isn't interested in truth-telling or justice-seeking?
Yeah, that's full on, isn't it? Thanks, whoever asked that question. I think probably one of the key terms that has changed in the conflict field that I've noticed is we used to always talk about conflict resolution.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, let's go and learn about conflict resolution. And I've noticed that it's switched to being conflict management. And I don't think that's an accident. I think there's an intentionality behind that, because there are some times when we, this side of glory, will not be able to resolve a conflict. And we need to, you know, as much as possible manage it rather than try and resolve it. Like, how do we live through that? And this is an example, I think, of where we need to manage rather than solve. So if you're in a, if you're in a conflict with somebody else and there's not on their behalf truth-telling and they are being deceitful, you know, or, you know, whatever, or they don't want to be seeking justice because they, you know, like it this way, thank you very much. I think then it is up to us to kind of look at our side of things, you know. It's the whole, well, okay, I can't control that person's behavior. I cannot control their response. I cannot control what they're doing at all.
Which, like, is so interesting because isn't that kind of isn't that really one of the key drivers of conflict is like, we disagree, and so I'm trying to get you onto my side.
Yeah, absolutely. Why can't you see it my way? If only you see the truth that I alone know, then you do
and
it differently.
There you see how it spirals.
exactly. But just being, I guess, aware that, you know, you can control you, and even then, you know, it's tenuous, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so
depending on how many coffees I've had that day.
exactly. But like, if you're in a conflict with someone and they are literally not interested in being truthful, and if they are absolutely not committed to justice, then this is where the modes are really important, because in that case, if this person is, and it sounds like they're quite toxic and not committed to the relationship and committed to having
committed
a self-serving,
rather than
the actual individual in the relationship, well, they're committed to filling their own needs and not filling your need, so it's a selfish kind of attitude, then maybe the best solution in this case is turtle mode. You know, maybe you need to do some self-protecting to pull down the shutter and protect your own, you know, your own sphere, your own space. Not that this is advice or anything, but when, you know, when you're faced with somebody who is, you know, that level of toxicity and it's actually damaging to you, then you've honestly got to think, well, is this a safe place for me? You know, is it emotionally safe? Is it relationally? Is it spiritually safe? And if the answer is no, and you can't change them and they're not willing to come to the table, then sometimes the best solution is to remove yourself for your own protection. And it sounds like, I mean, you kind of were joking about that church, you know, before, but that's what you did in that situation. You know, it was this sort of toxicity, this, you know, traumatic thing, and you were like, right, we're out, you know? And sometimes, not in every case, but there are definitely a lot of times when that's the best way to do things, you know?
Which is really hard to do, especially if you're so invested in whatever you're fighting
for. My gosh.
Or, you know, like if you've just got to let it go because you're not getting anywhere is a hard thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think also, like, sometimes that that approach and I would say wrongfully so, is viewed as an ungodly one, because, you know, we get told that we need to persevere and, you know, through persecution. And so we can sometimes take those scriptures and those biblical principles and apply them to conflict and then kind of go, well, I need to be here. Like, I need to be... I need to be in this. I need to keep the conversation going. I need to forgive and love.
Yeah.
And I think it's for one, it's important to understand that you can forgive, you can love, and you can be gracious away from the conflict.
Like you can. Yeah, you can.
Like they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah. But I do think sometimes, and I wonder if, because Rox, you did say that like, one of the things that Tim Dyer mentioned was that churches are the most conflict averse, but they're also the most conflict prone. And I wonder if part of that is because we don't give ourselves the permission to step away from conflict and go, actually, this is not helpful. This conversation is no longer constructive.
Yeah.
And has actually become harmful and toxic, as you say.
Yeah.
And I can love and forgive and seek to understand you and your point of view away from this conversation, away from this conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
I think sometimes there's this perception and an unhelpful and I would say like a misreading of scripture that to withdraw is to fail or give up or not reflect the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah,
I would disagree with that. Yeah. I would say that self-care and healthy boundaries and understanding your own limitations and your own capacity is actually really vital.
Yeah.
And we're not.
And it's important.
Yeah, and it's important.
That changes with all the seasons of life too. Mm. You know, there are times when your capability and capacity is at an all-time high. You have very little responsibilities. You know, you might be emotionally, mentally healthy, but there are other times.
When's that? Yeah.
No, that's coming.
Still waiting. Still waiting.
Not with a newborn. Yeah. But there are times, you know, a newborn kind of thing when you're in a really vulnerable state, and it is important that you don't place yourself in harm, and it's then becomes damaging to your soul. Mm. And to your point, Matt, with the, you know, then when we look at it as being ungodly or whatever, I mean, scripture is full of, you know, times where people have disagreed. Acts chapter 15, there's a big disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, like Paul as in the Apostle Paul and Barnabas the encourager. Yep. And if the Apostle Paul and Barnabas the encourager have to, you know, they have to sort of split because they've got a disagreement, then who are we really to think that we've got it
covered?
If it's
good enough for them.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I really like about that story is when they have a disagreement about, you know, certain things, God actually still uses it. God still uses that. Like he takes Paul and makes him the apostle to the Gentiles, and he takes Barnabas and he goes off Paul goes off with Silas, I think. Barnabas takes Mark. They go off to Cyprus. And so they're actually still engaged in God's mission, and they're still planting churches. And God takes a difficult, you know, disagreement and multiplies the church out of it, because they don't stay together and fight. They go, okay, you know what? We see these things very different ways. You do you, I'll do me here. Bless you, you know, and off they go. And God does more with that, you know, and they probably gave it over to the throne of grace and asked God to bless it. And, you know, the church is multiplying.
Yeah. So. And again, sought to love each other outside of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That conflict. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we just need to move away.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to move away from each other.
Yeah. And that's not forever, but it's, you know, for a season that sometimes we need to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's super important because, otherwise we can find ourselves entrapped.
Yeah, we can.
And I think in those situations, no one comes out the winner.
There are only
casualties of war.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we almost martyr ourselves in those situations under this notion that it's godly when it's not.
We're not Jesus, you know, really. No. We're not Jesus. You know. And you know, that's not even addressing things like mental health on behalf of either party. Mm. Things like narcissism, like narcissistic personality disorder, which is quite prevalent in society. And, you know, you're sort of giving over and giving and giving to somebody who is a narcissist and their emotional tank is never going to be filled.
Mm.
And you just find yourself emptied out and hollowed out.
Yep.
And there's no end to that.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a lot of complexity there.
Absolutely.
And so I think giving yourself grace, allowing yourself to have that great mentor that can be insightful and you know, giving it over to the Lord, it's important.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Ooh. Good stuff. Well, let's get on to question three.
So we've established conflict is a thing, especially in the church.
What?
And it's not that helpful to kind of shy away from it, or for all of us to be turtles all the time, not address things and to kind of just let things lie just because we're stressed about it or anxious about conflict. So how do we begin to normalize conflict so that we don't hide from it?
Ooh, that's a goodie, isn't it? Not that I want people to start kung fu
neck
fighting.
Minute. Yeah, minute.
Mark Rader's going to come back from long service and like, what did you do?
We gave permission.
A little boxing ring set up in the church.
It's going to be great. Come on Sunday. Oh, how do we normalise conflict? Oh, look, I think the acknowledgement that it exists and that, you know, just because a Christian community is a community that's of love doesn't mean that, you know, the world is not going to intrude in that, that, you know, we're fallen people, right? We are sinful, broken, fallen people living in a sinful, broken, fallen world. And we need to just recognize that this process that we're undergoing is we are being sanctified. We're being made more in the image of God. But that's a process. That's an undergoing process. And part of normalizing conflict as well is recognizing the season that we're in, the moment that we're in. And this is where you see on social media doesn't help us, and the pandemic hasn't helped us either, really. What we're seeing now is more micro communities rather than like a large big community of the church, whatever that is. We're seeing these little micro communities, you know, like little life groups and Bible studies and whatever they are. But within the micro communities, those big personalities and the bull type characters, they're not diluted. Do you know what I mean? Like they're like in a large gathering, you know, those big, you know, bombastic people. Do you know what I mean?
Bombastic.
Bombastic, yeah. They're kind of diluted by the rest of the population, whereas in small micro communities, they kind of just rocket up to the top, right? And so we see them and we have to deal with them. And then on top of the fact that we're in these little micro communities, we've had these couple of years where we've been distant and isolated from one another, and we've lost the ability to communicate on many levels. And so, you know, we don't really have a language to discuss it. You know, everything's a bit awkward. We haven't seen people for years. Where are you? Been sick? What's your position on, you know, vaccination? Where were you in this? You know, there's multiple layers of complexity and experience that we've all had. We've all had a different pandemic experience as well. So, you know, some people have just, you know, had the living their best life, and others have just, you know, struggled to, you know, get through from day to day and anywhere in between. And then you add on to this the online experience. We live in this online world where all the algorithms are basically not about what is true or right or good or beautiful. They're actually about what draws eyeballs, what draws attention, and the thing that draws attention is the things that are most dramatic, most polarized, most extreme, most out there. That's what drives the algorithm. And so we live in this increasingly polarized world as well. And so recognizing the moment that we're in and you know, sticking our heads up a bit and going, okay, this is quite the time.
We live on a knife's edge.
We really
conflict
do.
Conflict is a poorly worded post away.
It is. And if you say the wrong thing about the wrong person, that's it, you're cancelled. And so to recognise the moment that we live in and all the things that kind of drive us apart in these polarised camps that we have, and recognise that our algorithms are driving that and they're feeding into that, and so they're just pushing us further away because, you know, that's where the money is.
The culture is very like positive and you do you, and you know, we don't want that kind of conflict. This is a positive space. A lot of people talk about, you know, having a good vibe around you, and if your friends aren't a good vibe, get rid of them.
So we're
very conflict averse at the moment. But then also on the same side, like there's crazy conflict with like anti-vaxxers versus pro-vaxxers.
This, that,
it's
and the
mess.
Other. Yeah. Like whatever it is.
It is. Exactly. And so when you look at those kind of camps, they're a bit like icebergs, right? So you have these, like if you've got two icebergs above the surface of the water, they can look really far apart, look really polarized. In any conflict, often those icebergs look quite distant from one another, and what you see is hugely far apart. But if you went under the surface of those icebergs, you know, the whole, you know, iceberg is whatever it is, you know, 7/8 or whatever science people tell me.
But it's bigger under the water.
Yeah, I think it's an eighth, though. I think something like that. We need Science Medwin to tell us, Sarah, science teacher on staff. But underneath the surface of the water is actually a lot closer together from those two icebergs of what you see, because underneath the surface is the things that drive all of us, our common humanity. So things like, what are our needs, you know? What are the things that each of us need? Well, we all need, you know, to belong, and we all need security, and we all need love, and we all need whatever it is we need. Our interests, you know, and particularly in the church, generally speaking, our interest is we want to see the kingdom of heaven flourish. We want to see people come to know Jesus. We want to see ministry occur. We want to see lives transformed. You know, we want to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. So even though on the surface we might look far apart, underneath we're actually quite close together than we think. And then our values and things, what are the things that we feel are important? You know, what are the things that resonate with us? You know, if we had to rank our priorities, what might that look like? So under the surface is important. And so in terms of conflict, we need to be able to look underneath and see what's going on there, even to flip the iceberg, which is it's quite difficult to do because you need a lot of trust
to do
that. So, yeah, so being, I think, having that awareness of the moment we live in and then looking underneath what we see is helpful. But that does take a lot of work, and it takes a lot of effort, and it also takes parking yourself a little bit to look at the other. I think that's really significant to be able to, you know what? What part of this is me? You know, what part of me do I just need to park and just focus on you?
Yeah.
And I can give you, like, treat you with your intentions rather than what I see.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I guess it kind of, because I think the way we normalize conflict is by understanding that it is maybe not, like, natural is the wrong word because I don't believe conflict was a part of God's original design. But in terms of our experience within a broken world, it is a normal part of relationships.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we give too much emphasis. We make when conflict occurs within a relationship, whatever that relationship may be, a marriage, a friendship, a working relationship, you know, within churches, when conflict arises, we kind of treat it as if it overshadows anything and everything that relationship has ever entailed before.
Yeah.
It becomes the only defining
toxic cloud that taints it.
Because it's the whole I say Karen because, you know, they're a pop culture reference. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you going with Karen? Oh, I'm fighting with Karen. It's not, you know, it's not, hey, Karen and I have been friends for 50 years or whatever it is. It's, and we're fighting. Like, do you know what I mean? It just becomes this.
The thing.
It becomes the only thing that we see when we look at that relationship. Yeah. And I think what you're talking about, that iceberg analogy, is kind of going, hey, even when we do have conflict and there is something that separates, something that kind of seems divisive between us.
Well, let's look underneath.
There is still so much more to the relationship.
Yeah.
And that element of our relationship, that conflict does not undo or dismantle everything else or the other elements and aspects and characteristics of the relationship that we have. And I think, you know, to your point, that's where we need to kind of take that moment to just pause and kind of go, where are the similarities? And particularly within, excuse me, within church, like, I think one of the reasons why we're conflict prone is because, like, everyone's got skin in the game.
Yep.
Like, this is faith. This is the thing that we tether our entire experience, our entire being to. Like, we are followers of Jesus, and that is profound, and that is transformational, and that, you know, we filter everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we perceive through that filter, or you know, or at least we're called to.
Yeah.
And so when we disagree on something, let's say, regarding faith, then
grenade.
It is a grenade.
It's a grenade.
And so I think that's, you know, that's why I think church does have conflict because it's such a big deal. It's not just a matter of, oh, we could agree to disagree, because it's like, well, actually, like, this feels
it's very important to me.
It deconstructs my understanding of who Jesus is or how I'm supposed to live my life.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still so much that we agree on.
Yeah.
You know, I just think as an example, you know, there are some churches that don't believe in women in the
leadership. Yeah, leadership roles. Position or preach.
And we do. So there's a disagreement there.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that when we talk about salvation, we all agree on the same things.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's important that we don't cancel, as you talk about, like in our cancel culture, oh, we've got this one disagreement, so the entire relationship needs
dead
to be
to
canceled.
Me.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I think
that's an important part of normalizing conflict, because then we can start to get a little bit more comfortable with its existence.
Yes, absolutely.
Or actually, this is just a part of our relationship at this point in time in the history of our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does not define it and it does not determine the future, or doesn't have to determine the future trajectory of our relationship, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
There are still X, Y, Z, you know, history, common interests, values and needs, you know, whatever it is that actually tethers us together.
Yeah.
And there's just one string that's kind of snapped off and it's just kind of floating in the wind kind of thing.
Augustine spoke to this a little bit way back at the beginning when, you know, church was like, who are we? What are we doing? Who is
Jesus? Back when there was a lot of conflict.
Yeah, back when there was a lot of conflict. Which is kind of what you're saying, Matt. It's that whole, he said, in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, in all things charity.
Yeah.
So the whole, you know, in these, the things that we hold as believers, there needs to be unity in the essentials, you know, like who is Jesus? You know, what did he come to do?
Big deal.
Big deal. Yeah, we want unity around that. In non-essentials, which is the issues that you talked about, liberty, like freedom in that, you know, like you have the freedom as believers to interpret scripture in different ways and to live that out. But in every aspect is charity, which is love.
Yeah.
Charity is the old school word for love. And so, well, that's what we need to be doing in all of our interactions. We need to make love the thing that is seeped in and is fluid through all the processes. So there you go.
That was a great sum up.
What a perfect way to end, Augustine, mate. You're still smashing
them out. We still love you, mate.
We still love you. Bless your heart. Well, thanks so much, Rox. Thanks
for you.
It was an important, but you know, it's a hard topic to tackle. And thanks so much for your wisdom.
It's all right. I hope we don't have a conflict in future. But if we do, I love
you,
man. I'm ready for it.
As a bull.
I'll be the koala that explodes.
Oh, no.
No, I won't. I'm an owl.
Bless. All right. Thanks, Rob. Jess, I want to be able to ask you what you thought, but can we just acknowledge the fact that Little Veda Rose just smashed that podcast? She's been asleep this entire time. She's made
42 minutes.
The most delightful noises, the little coos and the little gurgles. And huge success. Like, you guys are just winning at life. Bless you.
Look just for us. This one 42 minutes, we're winning at life. We weren't this morning. We won't be this afternoon. But I'll take this.
Take the win.
I'll take the win.
But what stood out for you in all of that, Jess?
Oh, I think it's such an important discussion. If I think of the most important relationships in my life, you just can't shy away from conflict. Because then you end up, you know, in marriage, it takes an average of 7 years to finally go to counselling, 7 years of an unhappy marriage or something.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, outrageous. You just sit and stew, and that's not helpful at all. But then coming in both as bulls also not helpful. So I really did like that discussion around the different animals and what you like, that you, there's times for each different one. And it's important to kind of see actually how I'm coming at this affecting the other person. Are they going to explode with fur flying everywhere? Or is this a situation where neither of us are going to win and we're just going to end up getting really hurt in the process, and so we kind of need to back off? Yeah, I really liked that.
Yeah, I think that that self-care element is super important, because I think it feels a little countercultural to gospel sometimes, but I don't believe that it is. And, you know, I think that there is a time and a space, and that there is seasons within conflict where, you need a kind of self-care and create some healthy barriers for yourself. But then there are other times where, you know, you need to step into that space and go through the hard work. And it is hard work. And I think that's probably why we're so adverse to it, because
You know. I like to avoid it at all costs. And it's really important to not let it get to a point where you're out of control, exploding. You know, if you see it coming from a mile away, like maybe address it earlier. If you feel like you're at exploding point, take a hot sec and calm down and then approach it.
Yeah,
because that's not helpful.
You might want to avoid conflict sometimes, Jess, but I have played Catan with you and let it be known that in that moment, Jess is a bull through and through, particularly if you cut off her road halfway through.
It's rude.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
Well, it's the game, Jess. Yeah. It's the game. All right? So
Catan is life.
Well, my friend, you have just been exceptional in podcast presenting and mothering and just life in general. You're incredible. We'll catch you next time.
Will you though?
We don't know, but we'll see. We say it in faith. Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure that you're there at one of our services this coming Sunday and that you snap the Slido QR code or follow the link before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big 3 podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Well, thanks for joining us for this week's Big 3 and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big.